Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now. Joy.
Make your decisions for the future of our children. I hope that you will remember that each one of us as individuals, when judgment day comes, will be judged by God when we're playing God ourselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a popularity contest. This is a time for people to speak. This is not a time for, if you want to celebrate when the person's finished speaking, you may applaud, but we'll keep it to that.
I'm saying, there's a right way to do right, and then we can all sleep at night. But when you do undermined things, and then you want the public to be okay with it, that's wrong. I have always supported this school board. You all have never seen me once come down and challenge one of you. I work in the community, I volunteer in school, but what you all did the other night was wrong. You had the superintendent going to these graduations being fired, shaking the student's hand. How would you like to have done that?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when the Baptist preacher comes down and says, "Dear sirs, you done did this wrong." You know, that's Isaac Williams from the True Vine Baptist Church. Yesterday at the school board meeting before, they had Pam Schwartz talking about this. And, yeah, that business, I hadn't been thinking about this exactly, but they were making the point that, making Tim Smith continue to be the superintendent while he's really not the superintendent, while he's kind of there doing the good thing, because to his credit, he took the high road. That's what Washington Thomas mentioned about him, that, you know, to his credit, he showed up even afterwards. And yet the students, they knew who was to blame for all this.
But it should have been a no-brainer for this board. The students did not laugh at Dr. Smith. They laughed at the board. It's a no-brainer for Miss Payne to be in the next
Dr.
position.
Dr. Tyler Thank you. Hardeman.
Yeah, so tensions were a little bit high yesterday during this meeting about who's going to be the interim superintendent. That was the real decision we made, whether it would be Keith Leonard, who is what Paul Fetsko and Kevin Adams wanted, or whether it be Sheena Payne, who is the official deputy superintendent, which is what a lot of the crowd wanted. And, you know, it wasn't entirely clear to me who David Williams preferred, who Bill Slayton preferred, who Patty Hightower preferred. Although, you know, Patty and Bill were very upset about the original process and how all this was handled. And one of the things that Bill Slayton was bringing up is, look, you know, we got good people in office right now doing the things that they're doing. And then you're talking about putting them in jeopardy by advancing them to a position that they're not really for. And, you know, what if that doesn't go well? That could be a problem, right?
I don't want to put either one of their jobs and positions in jeopardy just over the drop of, I think we need to get rid of them. That's wrong.
Sir, I'm going to stop and I'm going to take exception to this at this point, because we went through an evaluation process.
This is Paul Fetsko.
We read through the evaluations that other people did of the previous superintendent. There was reasons that those decisions were made. You did not agree with them. I understand that. But I did not, out of the blue, decide to change somebody's career path because their things were going so well.
It wasn't on my agenda. So well. I made the motion to accept that agenda that night. Nowhere in that agenda was removal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. Well, you should have expected it since the evaluations were there. Oh, how many other times have we had to deal with this with the appointed superintendent? Well, the answer is none, because this is the first time we've done it. And that's what he's saying, is we're putting these fine people in a position to maybe fail, because it's already a challenging position, and they're being promoted, you know, or put in some position that they're not really applying for, not quite, and at this moment. And what happens if you get upset with them and you want a late add to a meeting sometime in 3 months that you want to get rid of them too? What's to protect them from that? Well, the answer is nothing. So, yeah, it's a little bit of drama. And then we had a break. And David Williams, District 3, had asked basically to meet with the attorney to talk about something. And they came back. And when they came back, the whole meeting changed. I'll share that with you in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not a lot to watch out for this morning. We are watching one accident at 9 Mile and Jernigan. It looks like that has been cleared and moved off to the side. And we got a call on this just a little earlier. Gulf Breeze Parkway at El Rito Drive. There's a partial roadblock. And as I understand, they're pulling cars through the Winn-Dixie. A lot of emergency crews on scene. Caution there, certainly, and wherever you are. And then lots of tire debris on 87 South just before you come into Holly. Now, no stoppage, but great enough where people are swerving to evade. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So, Sheena Payne, who has been basically unheard from this entire time, she's the deputy superintendent, and she's the one that people were upset about, her getting passed over for, you know, being automatically the interim when the superintendent gets eliminated or fired. And so that was what all this hubbub was about. And she gets up there, well, not even gets up, she was sitting at the desk talking, and she just talks about how I grew up here, I'm from here, class of 89, I've taught here, I've been, you know, all of the different things that she has done here. And she says, look,
when I got into education, it was a ministry for me, and I got into it so I could encourage and inspire. I had no idea that 25 years later, I would be encouraged and I would be inspired by so many students. Some of your students on the board have come through where I have been, and so I'm grateful for the opportunities.
And I love her attitude about what teaching is, a ministry where the focal point is serving God and serving kids.
The question becomes, and how are the children? And the answer to that, from the tribe, they used to greet each other that way. They would start by asking the question, and how are the children? And the next response should be, all the children are well. All of the children are well.
And she's talking about God and authority, and it doesn't come from men, and she was grateful for Tim Smith, and I kind of wish you'd watched her whole speech because it was fantastic. And then she says, look,
sometimes he was talked to like he wasn't a son, that he wasn't a father, that he wasn't a husband, that he hadn't worked. And so we as a collective being have to do better, I believe. And that starts with me. We have to do better. I can't talk about anybody but myself.
We have to do better, and it starts with me. So I think I can solve all this for y'all.
This was not designed, I don't believe. I think Mr. Leonard got pulled in. I got pulled in. And now we got to find a way to pull together. We don't have to be ugly. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Children can't be what they can't see. And if they don't see us, then there is no way we can come to this table and talk about discipline. We can't talk about anything when they can't see us do the same things.
So what's she going to do? Well, I mean, you know, you kind of like, you're kind of wondering, like, what's the decision here? She says, it's all good. It's all good. I'm just here to serve.
I'm grateful for Dr. Smith and the opportunity to serve as deputy superintendent. That's not what I had in my mind, but sometimes the Lord has other plans. And so I appreciate that. So, Mr. Leonard, let me say to you, sir, I heard someone say earlier in this meeting that you agreed and that you would serve. So, sir, serve on.
Just you take it. It's good. We can all work together. It's fine.
And my prayer will be that you will be propped on every leaning side, that a spirit of cooperation would rest, rule, and abide, that we would no longer be ugly, but we would come together. And if this is Hurricane School Board, then guess what happens in this city? And I've seen all over when we have a hurricane. I see everybody forget. Nobody cares about what political party you agree with. If you got ice, I want it. If you got gas, I need it. If you got bread, charcoal, whatever we're doing it together. So at this time, united for every student to succeed. United. For every student to succeed. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And our kids need us now more than ever.
Oh, man, I'll be honest. I felt a little bit like I went to church. It was so good. And, oh, she's fantastic. So she basically said, look, it's good. Just let Keith Leonard be it. I'll be the deputy. We'll figure this out. We'll serve the kids. We'll serve God. He puts everybody in authority anyway, so... it's all good, man. I just, you know, it warmed my heart to watch. And then Keith Leonard, for his part, he basically got up and just said, you know, hey, we're here to serve the kids. And, you know, let's address these issues and let's really focus on solving the source of some of the issues that we're having.
But somebody told me the other day that a lot of people, when they look at the tree, they just look at the branches. Is it a pretty tree? Have they pruned it? Have they done all the things that makes it be a pretty tree? What I tell you, we're going to start doing right here, as soon as you let us get out of this meeting, we're going to continue to work on the tree and the branches of the tree by getting to the roots. And we're going to work on the foundation of the Escambia County School District. You can count on it now, and you can count on it tomorrow. So, Mr. Chairman, other school board members, thank you for the opportunity, and you'll be proud of the work that we do in the Escambia County School District. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leonard.
So I will tell you, I'm optimistic going forward. We got a couple of, you know, pastor superintendents leading the ship, and they seem like they're going to work well together, and I certainly hope so, because we got, what, 10 D schools in Escambia County, as Kevin Adams said yesterday. We got to get those schools turned around. We got to figure out this Charter Schools USA situation. You know, they got a whole bunch of problems that we've got to figure out in this county when it comes to education. And, you know, we need some stability and we need some wisdom, and I'm optimistically thinking that maybe we've got it going forward. And I certainly hope that that is the case. So for the next 13 months, Keith Leonard is going to be the superintendent. He might well get the job thereafter, but they're not going to start looking for somebody permanent until January or February. 722 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Jesus loves the unlovable. He loves sinners, and sinners come in all shapes and sizes. In John 3, Jesus shows love to a religious sinner named Nicodemus. Yet in John 4, he shows love to an adulterous sinner known as the Samaritan woman. Nicodemus needed to be born again even though he was religious, just as the sinful Samaritan woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a man who wasn't her husband, she also needed to be born again. The fact is, we're all sinners. When the Samaritan woman realized who Jesus was, she believed on him savingly and then told people all over town how Jesus saved her soul from the consequences of her sin. I urge you, trust Christ today to deal with your sin problem. You'll be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled?
Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
And just like that, my running days was over. So I went home to Alabama.
We got some really good follow-on text here to the conversation at the school board meeting, and Sheena Payne giving her really essential, transformative, I would say God-inspired speech based on what I heard. Had a whole bunch of comments come in on that. Somebody says, let's see, let me get to them all here. Somebody says, I work for the school district. That meeting was unreal. It was hot, but the deputy superintendent, Sheena Payne, calmed things right down. The best speech I have ever heard. She turned that place into a church. Agreed. The deputy superintendent showed more leadership in her comments than the whole board. Agreed. Sheena Payne is a true woman of God. Agreed. And then this is my personal favorite. She is preaching. Go ahead. That's right. I know. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got Traffic on the Fives.
And Traffic on the Fives brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. That's employing made easy. Lots of tire debris, 87 South, just before you come into Holly. No stoppage, but big enough for people to swerve and evade. And then on Highway 98 and College Parkway in Gulf Breeze, showing an accident. Both directions showing a partial roadblock. And I guess they're directing traffic through the Winn-Dixie and the Bell's parking lot. So watch for emergency crews on the scene there. And if you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Texas Outlet Mall, where a gunman killed 8 people and wounded 7 others earlier this month, reopens today. The Allen Premium Outlets near Dallas reopening today after that incident. Police have arrested... have made arrests after 30 people attacked 3 off-duty Marines on Memorial Day weekend in California. That scene unfolded Friday night near the San Clemente Pier. Police say 9 juveniles have now been arrested in connection with that assault. And apparently Twitter has lost a lot of market value. It's reportedly now worth only a third of what Elon Musk paid for it 7 months ago. According to financial management giant Fidelity, Musk's investment in Twitter is now worth only $8.8 billion. He took it over after paying $44 billion last October.
Yeah, but I feel like from his perspective, the purpose wasn't to make money.
I think you're right with that, yeah.
I think that was...
He owns a utility.
You know, I mean, right, exactly. It, yeah. That's a great way to say it. He owns a utility. David, thanks so much for the update. 727 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, that big loud noise you heard last night was the sonic boom from the SpaceX capsule coming back in. And I'm so irritated because I see all these cool videos, and all the times I have gone out in the night to look at some astronomical event that I can't see because of Pensacola clouds, and this... You know, giant fireball across the sky is the one that I didn't bother to go look for. And we did like everybody did. We heard the boom at 10 o'clock just before. And then we're like, well, let's go look. Because what are you going to see? The source of the sound is over. The source of the sound happened, you know, the sound of speed times distance away from you and that far back in the past. Well, in this case, a couple of minutes prior to that, up in the sky, and had we been outside looking, it would have been cool. And as it was, he was like, what? And I go online, and 100 comments later, I'm like, oh, so it was the Dragon, it was the SpaceX capsule. So, okay, all right, cool. Thanks for that. And no, you're not crazy. But I do feel bad because I know, like, I went and asked my one son, I'm like, did you hear that? He's like, yeah, what was that? And I told him, he's like, oh, thanks, Dad, for telling me. Asked my other son, did you hear that? He's like, no. I'm like, sucks to be you.
Dude, we didn't hear anything.
You don't
last
get to
night.
Tell the story. You get to tell the story about how you didn't hear the thing, you know, which was your experience, right, Candy?
That's 100% right. I don't think Darren heard it either.
All right. Well, it was loud. I'll just put it that way. It shook a lot of houses, that's for sure. 728 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I don't even know what to make of this story, so I'm just going to tell it to you. You ready? Here's the headline. Here's the first line of the story. A man in Florida was charged with attempted murder after he stabbed his roommate in the neck while dressed as a cat. The cat-dressed assailant,
like
I'm just reading the story, the cat-dressed assailant was upset at the roommate for allegedly hurting his actual cat, but the roommate denies it. The victim was in his room on Tuesday when the other guy walked up behind him wearing a cat costume, this is kind of brutal, stabbed him in the neck, I'll just say it that way. Detective spoke with the victim in the hospital, and he said that Gutierrez said a week ago that he was not above killing him. Oh. I think, don't you, like, de-roommate somebody at that point? I don't know what the law allows, but okay, so the claimed abuse of the cat, he says it didn't happen, but the response was, I'm going to dress up as a giant cat and stab you in the neck. Okay, so this is not the...
It didn't happen in Pensacola, right?
It did happen in Florida, but not in Pensacola. Oh. So this is...
We have a mascot on the other side that I just wanted to make sure there wasn't anybody we
not
knew.
Not that cat!
Okay. Hey, those big fat white hands. Ugh.
Oh, and by the way, CDC now says that approximately 40% of food poisoning is because the employees who were serving you the food or preparing the food were themselves sick. So it's not from poor food processing and handling of food. It's from having people who show up to work sick with like Novavirus or something, and they contaminate you and get you sick. So, of course, the problem is that a lot of times you work at a restaurant and they don't pay you if you're sick.
You stay home.
So you don't get your
tips
or whatever. And you
get yelled at if you don't come in.
So the policy might be don't come in and work when you're sick, but a lot of people do anyway because, you know, they need the money.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Fox News confirming former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will toss his hat into the ring for the Republican nod for president. The big reveal coming June 6th in New Hampshire. Christie ran in 2016 but then suspended his campaign following a poor showing in the New Hampshire primary, endorsing the eventual winner, Donald Trump. As for Trump, he's in Iowa today and tomorrow, as well as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis stopping today in Sioux City, Council Bluffs, Pala, and Cedar Rapids. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
Not sure what in the bill people are concerned about.
Needs the votes to pass that debt limit deal he made with President Biden. 30 Republicans, one Democrat will vote no, according to Fox Tracking. And NASA holds a public meeting today featuring unidentified aerial phenomenon. That's UAP. The new term for UFOs begins at 10:30 Eastern Time. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, partly cloudy, 68 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Well, tomorrow is the official start of the Atlantic hurricane season, and Escambia County officials want to make sure everybody's ready for it.
Know your zone. We want to make sure that you know whether or not you're in an evacuation zone or not. Know your home, whether or not you're going to be staying in your home or not during a storm, and making sure that you're prepared to stay there and to weather the storm for up to 1 week. We used to say 72 on you. We no longer do that. It's be 1 week ready. So that making sure.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got to make sure you got enough food and water for a week, and then know your plan.
And emergency management officials say you need to have your plan finalized early and have any needed supplies ready to go before a storm is approaching. Early predictions calling for a light hurricane season this year, but officials say it only takes one storm, so you still need to be ready. After hours of sometimes heated public comment last night, a new interim school superintendent was appointed by the Escambia County School Board. They unanimously approved Keith Leonard into the position.
This is about the number, 45,000. 38,000 students, 7,000 employees. And you can rest assured that every day when we come to work, that's what we're going to be committed to. We're going to give our students the best opportunity we can, and we're going to treat and support our employees every day like they are doing God's work.
Many in the community had voiced support for current Deputy Superintendent Sheena Payne. She gave a passionate speech during the meeting, said she appreciated all the support, but was happy to serve under Leonard for the good of the students and the district. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says a Circle K store clerk that fired shots at a group of people in a video that went viral online is not going to be facing charges.
No, what are you doing? What's up? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And that's audio from a cell phone video that showed that clerk walking out of the store chasing away a group of young males. And in a statement, Sheriff Chip Simmons said, in part, as many as five individuals were involved in a disturbance and continued walking in and out of the store threatening the clerk. That incident happened Monday morning at the store on Pensacola Beach. A Milton man now behind bars accused of breaking into a woman's home and sexually assaulting her while she was sleeping. 36-year-old Wesley Smith being held on $180,000 bond on several charges, including sexual assault, burglary, and trespassing. Investigators say they found a window in the back of the victim's home that was open after she reported the incident. Governor DeSantis' presidential campaign being accused of trying to circumvent federal campaign finance rules. That is what the Campaign Legal Center wrote in a complaint filed yesterday with the Federal Election Commission. The CLC alleging that DeSantis' political committee illegally transferred $86 million into the Never Back Down Incorporated Super PAC. That would exceed the legal limit of $5,000. It is 7:35. News Radio 92.3, and Candy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Highway 98 and College Parkway and Gulf Breeze showing an accident. Thank you for calling that in this morning. It's an accident both directions showing a partial roadblock at this time on Highway 98, and they're directing traffic through the Winn-Dixie Bells parking lot. Also, lots of tire debris on 87 South just before you get into Holly. People aren't stopping, but they're swerving to evade it, so careful there. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And let's get a look at our Channel 3 first warning forecast.
Beautiful day today, nice and warm and humid. Small chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm. 20% chance of rain overall. High near 88 with lows overnight dropping near 69 degrees. For Thursday, rain chance will be increasing. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 85. Thursday night temperatures dropping near 69. Rain chance will drop off a little bit for Friday with a 30% chance of rain with a high near 89. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 68 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Goldman Sachs is preparing another round of layoffs. The cuts will affect fewer than 250 jobs. Less than 1% of the bank's headcount of 45,400 at the end of March. But the layoffs at Goldman would mark the third round of job cuts in less than a year as investment banks take a hit from a slowdown in deal making, with the surge in interest rates blunting the corporate appetite for mergers and acquisitions. Equitrans Midstream Corporation shares soared 35% as investors reacted to a debt ceiling bill's inclusion of a provision that would allow for expedited completion of the company's Mountain Valley Pipeline. The pipeline would transport natural gas 303 miles from West Virginia to the southeast. Delta facing a proposed class action lawsuit over advertising touting the U.S. carrier as carbon neutral. The complaint, filed on behalf of a California resident who bought Delta tickets to engage in a more ecologically conscious air travel, alleges violation of state consumer protection laws and laws on prohibiting unfair practices. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
This organization was created to charge an additional tax to the citizens of Escambia County. It's a 0.4365 mil. I think they reduce it from 0.5 to 0.4365. They funded a number of projects. I think it was like 5.1 million in this iteration that includes the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation.
All right, so this is City Councilman Charles Barrett. By the way, D.C. is out of the country today, so we're not talking to the mayor today. He didn't have a press conference yesterday either, and I forgot. I was texting this morning. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, yeah, I'm out of the country. I'm like, oh, my bad. Sorry, go back to vacation. Deserve it. Anyway, so Charles Barrett, City Councilman Charles Barrett, raising a concern about the Escambia Children's Trust funding a program through Pensacola Parks and Recreation to the tune of about $500,000 to do a bunch of basically services for free after-school programming for K to 5 students meeting federal income criteria at the Cobb Resource Center, Fricker, Gull Point, Woodland Heights, and you know, they're going to look for reimbursement under grant only for expenses involved in delivering services for youth who qualify for free tuition. So right now you can get services, but you got to pay for them. There's a charge. There's, like, you know, for using these services. This is going to focus on STEM activities, performing arts, behavior and social sciences, and all that. And you have to hire a bunch of staff. Because the theory is, if you're going to provide these services at the community centers, more kids are going to come. If more kids come, you're going to need more staff. So you got to hire a bunch of staff. That's where the $500,000 is going to go, is for these programs and for the staff. Well, Charles Baer says, okay, look, this organization, the Escambia Children's Trust, was sold to us as doing extra. As in, we're going to tax ourselves more to fund an organization that is going to help solve the getting ready for school problems and the ongoing problems that we have for underperforming students in this area. The problem with this is this would already happen. This program, these programs already exist. This doesn't make sense. This is, you know, this is not what the program was sold as. That not what the what the tax was supposed to go for.
This particular grant is the only one that's to an organization that has taxing power.
The city.
All the other organizations have to collect funding through donations and probably grants and things. And there was one of the items that was submitted along with all of these was from the sheriff, and it was denied. And one of the comments that was made was the proposal set a trend of proposals coming to Children's Trust for funding that should be funded with regular tax dollars. We have done this program in the past. It wasn't free. But I do not think it's right for an organization that has tax dollars to be able to use for these things to take tax dollars from another organization.
So what he's saying is kind of two points. Number one, he's saying that, look, we as the city have taxing power. If we think it's good to give students this kind of educational benefit at the resource centers, we can tax people and do it if we think it's worth doing. And if we're not willing to tax people and do it, then we shouldn't put that onto some other agency to do what we should be doing ourselves. And also, because that other agency is supposed to be doing the stuff that nobody else can do. And if this program or the sheriff's program or something else can be done through other regular means, well, that's not what that money was voted into in the first place for. It was voted there to be able to do things that nobody else can do, that once we put money in there, we can fill the gaps and fill in the cracks where the things are not getting funded that'll really make a difference for our kids. So I really respect the argument that he's making here about how this money is supposed to work and where it's supposed to come from. And I was thinking kind of the same thing that he was thinking.
It reminds me of when the lottery was created, and the lottery was created to in education. And what happened was, over time, lottery funds supplanted general revenue. So there were times at which they took lottery money that should have been used for enhancements to education and used it in place of general revenue. And that's kind of what I think is happening here. So I won't be supporting it. I understand it's likely going to pass. I think it's a great program, but I just don't think it's the appropriate use of these dollars.
You know, kind of the classic argument against the lottery that I also agree with, that the lottery didn't necessarily raise the amount of spending we put in education. It just displaced who pays for it, and we've opened up funding for other things in the general fund because all this money was coming in from, you know, the bad at math tax that we put on people who play the lottery. So I understand where he's coming from. On response, D.C. Reeves, the mayor.
I'm not sure about philosophies of taxing. I mean, we've approved during this meeting money from FDOT that this comes from tax money going to another tax entity. So, and certainly everyone has their right to philosophically agree or disagree with that.
We get money from FDOT. They're a taxing authority from the state. Why can't we just all play together and, you know, why can't we take pools of money that are coming from not our specific tax base?
I also certainly feel like we have the right of the city of Pensacola to invest in the biggest asset we have. And if the opportunity is here to help fund and help our community, you know, I say all the time, we don't run the school district, but if we say education isn't our job, then we're failing the people of this community. So whether they approve or not approve, there could be a lot of circumstances of why one thing got approved and one didn't that we don't understand. And I wouldn't speculate as to why we were chosen. I give a lot of credit to Tanya and Parks and Rec for being chosen. And if there's $1.5 million that helps the kids of the city, then I'm in full support of it.
So if there's help to be had and we can do a good thing and the money is available, let's do it. Charles Baer's response.
All I'm saying is that we have the right to raise our millage. We have the right to charge fees. We could have raised millage to cover this. And then some other organization might have been able to get access to these dollars. There are some great organizations on here. And I know there was a lot of debate about who should get funding, but this is a big chunk, 10% coming to us, and I'm just saying that we had other ways to fund it. That's all I'm saying.
I think he's referring there to, I think it's what he's saying is $5 million available from the Escambia Children's Trust, and we're taking a tenth of it in the city when we're a taxing authority that could do this kind of on our own if we thought that it was worth doing.
I won't drag this out. The issue here to me is 10% of this $5.1 million for this iteration is going, over more than 10% is going to the city, and I would never say that we shouldn't take funds from the Department of Transportation or the federal government. I think those are designed programs that would come to us. I think the reason this organization was created was really, I believe that ultimately what we're doing as a city is going to meet the needs of the population. I don't think it's not going to.
It's not that we're not going to do it. And he says, look, again, I want to make sure that we're doing new things. Now, there's a little bit of follow-up on this I'll get to in a second, but the core argument he's making is kind of the, fiscal responsibility and follow-through on your promises argument about the Escambia Children's Trust and the taxes that they've created. Now, I think there's a way to respond to what he's saying, but this is an important criticism to make sure you're not running afoul of this, because we don't want the Escambia Children's Trust to fall into the lottery funding kind of paradigm, right? Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Looks like that accident in Gulf Breeze on 98 and College Parkway has been cleared, and thank you for texting that in. Still lots of tire debris, 87 south before you come into Holly, but no stoppage, just people evading that and swerving around. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the conversation. This is again at the Thursday meeting for the Pensacola City Council. Denise Manassa, she's with CDAC. She says,
as an agency, due to this partnership, we are funding also staff to provide a 3 and 4 year old program in conjunction with this after school program. The 3 and 4 year old program will be offered from Monday through Thursday, 9 to 12, at no cost. And CDAC does cover and feeds the children.
And that's really the key here. Yes, the program is offered by the city, it's just not offered for free to poor students, which is what this funding will allow CDAC and City of Pensacola to provide for these kids. So in my mind, it is doing what the Escambia Children's Trust was set up to do, which is serving the most vulnerable kids and helping bolster their education outside of the classroom and prepare them to be better successes in school. That's the goal of the tax. That's the goal of the Escambia Children's Trust. What I think has gotten kind of stuck in Charles Baer's craw is that they're doing that by making free a service that had previously been made available at cost. And so it doesn't feel like it's doing a new thing. It feels like it's funding an existing thing at a higher level so that it can be made free to the poorer students. And I agree with him that it looks like, but here's the thing, it is doing a new thing because those students will come, we assume, in much, much higher numbers, needing the higher staff, needing the more people there to be able to provide it. Now, I will say, I heard a comment that concerned me from D.C. Reeves. Not concern me like, why did he make this? But if this is true, it concerns me.
Councilman Barry mentioned 10%. That might have been 10% of what was awarded at that time. There's still significant dollars. So I just want to be clear that this is not a culture of scarcity situation here where these were dollars that there are many dollars still available currently in the Children's Trust. So for those organizations that you mentioned, certainly there's still opportunity.
Yeah. So what I hear him saying there is that the money is available, that there's sort of an available pot of money for the Escambia Children's Trust. Now, that shouldn't mean that we spend it in any way recklessly, and I certainly don't think that's what DC meant. But it does make me think, well, okay, we created the Escambia Children's Trust, we funded it, it's got a lot of money, and it kind of feels now a little bit, and pardon me for this comparison, but it feels a little bit like the Triumph Board, where we got all of this money, apparently. I mean, Triumph's a lot more money, obviously, but and then we're trying to find ways to spend it. And I don't inherently object to that. But it feels a little bit like we're collecting all this money and now we're not quite sure what to do with it all. And we don't have enough really eligible programs to do. Now, I know what's going to happen in the theoretically is, you know, there's a funding source. Okay, so now we can start a pilot program. It works. Now we can expand it. It works more. Now we can expand it more. I mean, I get that things aren't necessarily going to be in place day one when the money is available. But it kind of feels a little bit like there's a, well, we got all this money and we're trying to find a way to spend it, which is maybe a little different than how it was sold to us as, hey, we're going to seed some programs, we're going to start some programs, and then we're going to do some really amazing things over the next couple of years, which is kind of what I always thought of the justification for the tax that was put into place for the Escambia Children's Trust in the first place. Anyway, I wanted to make you aware of this conversation because I think, again, I think Charles Rare is raising good questions about how this money is being used and about, you know, whether it should be used through the city for a project to make it available to poor kids, which seems to fit the purpose of the Escambia Children's Trust. But also this question of, well, what is the trust really doing with its money? How effective is it being? And, you know, is it following through on the promises made from the sales pitch on why this tax was put in place in the first place? 751 on News Radio. And they did pass it, by the way. There were two city council members who were out. Delarian Wiggins and Jared Moore were both missing that day, but it was passed on a 4-1 vote. Charles Bear was the only one who voted no on it. 751 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need HVAC work done, electrical work done, anything like that, Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. You know it's going to be good products, good service, with a satisfaction guarantee 100%. And right now they've got a handful of different specials that they're running. One is because it's hurricane season. That's tomorrow, by the way, starts. They got $1,000 off a Briggs & Stratton whole home generator. That's pretty cool. Free sewer camera inspections. And then if work needs to be done, they'll take $250 off those repairs because they did the sewer inspection. And they are hiring in Baldwin County, HVAC technicians and plumbers. And they are now servicing in Baldwin County. You know, they're all over the Gulf Coast. Fort Walton, Destin, Panama City, obviously here in Pensacola. And now, again, also the expansion into Baldwin County. Find out more for all of your HVAC or electrical needs at Peden, PEADEN.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says. If you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
Hey guys, I'm Nicole Stacy. There are more things to do in our area than you can even imagine. So who better to share the adventure of the Pensacola experience than the team at Visit Pensacola? Share with us your experience by using the hashtag ExperiencePeakOla. Go to visitpensacola.com and listen in Friday at 9:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
They call me Mr. Pig!
Thank you.
Good morning, 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David? I caught him by surprise.
You did. The House Rules Committee advancing that debt ceiling bill to the floor, clearing a major hurdle as it faces opposition from both Democrats and Republicans. The bill to raise the debt ceiling now advances to the floor for debate with a vote today. The measure would raise the nation's spending limit for the next 2 years. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie preparing to launch his Republican presidential campaign now. That, according to multiple reports that say allies of Christie have created a super PAC to support him during the primary season. And more than 200 smart kids from around the U.S. are in Washington, D.C. this week for the Scripps National Spelling Bee. They'll be competing in the semifinals today in National Harbor, Maryland. And apparently this spelling bee is broadcast live on ION television.
What's it going to be? Another tie? Another tie? Is that what we're looking at this year?
Ooh. T-I-E. Tie. Yeah, probably.
No ding. See, you did that right. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:55. By the way, on the vote in the Rules Committee, 7-6. Two Republicans voting against it. On a 9-4 committee, two Republicans voted against to send it to the House. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. And by the way, Chip Roy and Ralph Norman, who are, you know, Freedom Caucus guys. So we'll see. I got some comments from Matt Gaetz about that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It looks like the accident, I mentioned this just a little bit earlier, on Highway 98 and College Parkway has been cleared. And the same with Jernigan and 9 Mile. Use caution wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah, so Matt Gaetz was talking about this the other day.
I am not going to vote for this bill. I think that it doesn't put sufficient downward pressure on spending. And what's interesting to me, Chris, is that an increasing number of members who are very close to Speaker McCarthy are now announcing their opposition. People like Kat Kamick, Corey Mills, Michael Waltz, Russell Fry, Wesley Hunt. These are very much Team McCarthy people, but they have announced that this isn't something that they can support.
Yeah, and that has been the rumbling.
I didn't even vote for the first increase in the debt limit because gaslighting $49 trillion in debt over the next 10 years does a great deal of harm to the American economy, and it cuts against our principal mandate with the voters, which is to fight inflation.
Which is the idea at any cost, right? And also, the challenge that this presents for the speaker, who barely got elected speaker. Do you remember all the rigmarole we went through to get him speaker? I'm not saying we got him, but, you know, that for him to get the speakership and then the promises he made and concessions he made about how things would happen moving forward.
The speaker is working to get 112 votes. That's a key number because according to the concessions that Speaker McCarthy made in January, he can only bring legislation to the floor if a majority of the majority is going to support it. Right now, that may be in question.
Yeah, if he cannot bring things to the floor with Democrats making it pass. It has to have a majority of Republicans in favor of it. And then, obviously, if you need Democrats in order to pass the final legislation, which you would, because you'd only have basically a quarter of the House if you have a majority of the majority, a little more than. But the idea is, you know, if he can't get a majority of Republicans, he can't bring a bill or they'll vote him out.
The first test for Speaker McCarthy is the Rules Committee. That's a committee where we've got folks who are very dead set against this bill, like Chip Roy and Ralph Norman. So will Democrats on the Rules Committee cross over and give Speaker McCarthy what he needs to get the bill to the floor? And then will 112 Republicans indicate that they're going to vote for it? We cannot pass bills with a majority of the Republicans in opposition. So if folks are against this, they should reach out to their member of Congress and have their voice heard.
Yeah, so he's exactly right. And that's why it was a 7-6 vote, because two Republicans voted against it. We'll see how the numbers hold up in the House today in the general vote on the floor, maybe around 3 o'clock this afternoon. This is step one. I will tell you that one of the things that I do not like about this bill is it eliminates the debt ceiling for the next year and a half. Like, that's what it does. It says the debt ceiling is still there, and it's still at, like, the default rate that we're going to bump up against it coming up within the next couple of days. But we're going to ignore the debt ceiling until after the presidential election. That's a weird way to approach this, because that feels an awful lot like the first step of we'll just not have a debt ceiling. As opposed to maybe we should be working in the other direction to, like, you know, cut costs.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.